Twitch is not feeling so good, and a new challenger might have appeared. Lots of news in the live streaming world, and I am Devin Nash, owner of Novo, a creative agency. I'm going to be bringing that news to you today as we talk about Twitch suffering its biggest viewership drop in years in November 2022, but why? We're going to tell you why. With an average concurrent viewership drop of 7.9% from the last quarter, and an average of 2.58 million concurrent viewers watching Twitch in quarter two, down from 2.8 million in the previous quarter. And year over year, average viewership has decreased 14% from 3 million concurrent viewers in quarter two of 2021. That's pretty big deal. That's a lot of viewership decline. We're going to talk about why that is, and also the announcement of this new platform that may or may not be competing with it, which we'll talk about also. So why has viewership on Twitch dropped? We're going to begin there, and we're going to bust out the good old notepad. So I think that viewership has dropped on Twitch for a few reasons. I've talked about a lot of like the Twitch problems before, but the number one thing about why viewership has actually dropped on Twitch is ads. Ads are just way too many on the platform. So if you have been following news about Twitch, Twitch recently announced that they would be reducing the amount that special creators get from subscriber revenue. Previously, it was that most successful creators on Twitch at some point were offered a 70-30 split for subs. They have announced that those times are over and they're going to be withdrawing those from the vast majority of creators and only giving people 50-50. And they cited that the reason that they want to do that is because their server costs are too high and they basically can't afford to run the platform. And that was in a letter by Dan Clancy, the president of Twitch, who said, yeah, like our server costs are too high. Literally cited the costs from it requires for them to pull the data from IVS, which is their service that is their backbone for Twitch. And they said, okay, we can't afford it. So instead, how is Twitch planning to shore up the amount of money that they're losing every month for Amazon? Well, they are going to run a ton of ads. And they introduced what is called the Ad Incentive Program. The Ad Incentive Program, or otherwise called AIP, is a program for streamers to basically run more ads and get paid for it. And instead of the flat CPM flat rate, basically every 1,000 views was paid a flat rate for ads on Twitch, they are now offering 55% of what Twitch sells the ad for. And they say that this represents a 50 to 100% increase in ads. And indeed, the ad incentive program has been a pretty big increase in revenue for everybody, and I think has been a success. And I was a fan of the 55% rev share in my videos, and I'm still a fan of it now. I think it's great. But it has had the side effect of causing streamers to run way more ads. So now a streamer or affiliate or partner will run a minimum of 3 minutes of ads an hour. But many of the the way that the AIP kind of works is that it says, okay, if you run this many ads and you stream for this many hours, we're going to give you this much money. So what's happening is that once you run, let's say, 3 minutes of ads an hour, it'll say, okay, great, now run 4 minutes of ads an hour and get this amount of money. Now run 5, 6, 7, 8, with some streamers now running 8, 9, and 10 minutes of ads per hour, right? Now, that represents a significant amount of your content, right? 10 minutes out of every 60 minutes is a ton of ad coverage, actually more than traditional television, which usually clocks in at like 16%. So as a result, viewers are getting way more ads on Twitch. And because there aren't really reliable ways to block ads on mobile, currently 45% of people run ads, they block ads via desktop, and some other people have Twitch Turbo, which Twitch tries not to talk about. Most of the people on mobile, which is like 60% of the people watching Twitch, are just like getting literally 6 minutes straight of ads sometimes. So ads are just killing the platform, but there's no real way for Amazon to go because they have to monetize the platform. They have to make money for it. So streamers have to stream more ads. Amazon's got to figure out a way to get people paid and get themselves paid. And without these ads, I don't see a way out of this. So Twitch viewership is just going to keep declining. And the second thing that people don't really talk about is what I call the marketing strategy curve, which is not a official term that I invented. It's also called the adoption curve in some circles. If you take a look at this graph right here, you'll see that this is how basically every product cycle works. So here it says, hey, I got to be the first to try this. There's like 2.5% of people that are going to be the very first people to try a product. Those are your people that started getting on Twitch at like 2011 when OBS wasn't around, there was like Xfire, and you like were the first streamers on the platform. Then 13.5% of people will be like, this is really cool. I'm going to kind of adopt this. And then you'll notice that there's a chasm here between every one of these kind of like hops, okay, to get over to this next group of the market. This represents 100% of the market. With the people over here, like these are the people that still don't use credit cards. They don't, like, they trust like checkbooks, and they're like, yeah, I don't trust them. I don't trust them cards. I don't know about that. It's the bank trying to steal us, you know, those guys. Those are the 16% over there. So right here on the 34% and the 34% here, this is your main market, also called a TAM, total addressable market. This is the most amount of people that you possibly can reach. You want all of your products to get into this category. So like Netflix starts out here. Some people pick it up. Sure, live streaming services for like movies and content, I'll give that a shot. Then it goes into the 13%. Oh, this content's actually cool. Let me talk about it. Now normal people watch Netflix like every day and nobody has any problem with it. Even skeptics watch Netflix, and it basically has 100% of its addressable market. And now it has to share that market with competition like Hulu, like Amazon Video. So Twitch has gotten their product successfully past the visionary stage, but unfortunately is having a great deal of trouble converting people that are the pragmatists and conservatives, especially conservatives and skeptics. These kind of normal people just don't really want to watch Twitch. So a lot of the total addressable market for live streaming doesn't want to watch Twitch. Now, why would that be? Well, it takes the average viewer on Twitch watches it for 105 minutes, which is an absurd amount of time. And the amount you need to know to kind of plug into Twitch and understand the culture is too high for a barrier for normal people. Whereas a platform like TikTok basically instantaneously converted into its entire total addressable market, and that's why it has 2 billion users. Twitch has not been able to meaningfully increase its viewership, and none of its marketing has really succeeded in like gathering people who would normally watch something like YouTube, because a live stream is a big commitment. It is a high amount of minutes watched to understand that broadcaster. And you need to understand a lot of like emote culture. You need to understand a lot of like how Twitch runs. And you have to be there a lot, because on live streams, things that are funny and eventful only really happen in the moment. And sure, you have clips, but like the whole idea of a live stream is like experience. Otherwise, you just watch a YouTube video. So Twitch hasn't been very good at adopting a lot of this more addressable market. And as a result, I think those two things are declining viewership. And the number three thing that I will say, and this is more of a kind of personal bias, is that I just don't think the content is evolving that fast. I think whereas on YouTube, you have people and creators like Mr. Beast who are really pushing the content and video, you can just do so much more with video. And we're going to call this section content evolution. You can do so much more with video because you have so much more time in post to edit things in. It's not even just like the idea of like editing, the power of editing something on top of a video. It's also just the idea of being able to film things in segments and put them together. And so if you're going to create a live event, the live event itself will just be better produced at the end because you have so much more time. Whereas with a truly live event that would be shown on Twitch, you got to get everything right in one take. And it's tough. Take it from a person who makes 45-minute videos on one take, right? It's difficult. So content evolution is just sort of, we're kind of sitting in the same meta that YouTube sort of had to surpass. YouTube has now passed into like the Mr. Beast, Mark Rober meta of like producing these really high quality videos that are super interesting. And previously YouTube was like reacts content. It was like more like sort of like, I don't know if low quality is but like low effort type of stuff. And we've seen Twitch kind of sit on that reacts meta because that's kind of all you can do on a live stream. So like someone like me personally, it's just not interesting to me. I think as people kind of age out of Twitch and they get up into their like late 20s, early 30s type of thing, they start getting less time, right? And they start kind of entering into these like these more like normal like life market type stuff. all the stats that we've run on Twitch show that like people have an enormous amount of time and not much disposable income. They're generally like really heavy gamers. They watch Twitch for like long periods of time and to follow like the drama loops and stuff like that. You just kind of get out of that stuff when you sort of age up. And I think for that reason, Twitch is having a harder time onboarding the younger audiences, which have gone to TikTok, and they are having a harder time retaining those older audiences. And so I think this viewership is going to just decline. And there's not really any dramatic thing to say about this. It's just like, yeah, it's kind of like the death of every platform, right? It's just like, and then when I say death, that's a real dramatic and extreme statement, because Twitch isn't going to die. It's just not going to really grow or ever kind of become anything. And if you look at back at my videos where I said like, this is like the future of live streaming, even as early as like 2019, I said this, right? Like I just said, Twitch is not going to have this like supernova flare out where it just blows up, and like barring some kind of like government regulation, it's just not going to be able to address a market that ever makes it as significant as a platform like YouTube or TikTok. It'll have its place, like live streaming will have its niche, but it will just not really ever grow to something that everybody is talking about and understands. The barriers are too high, the total addressable market is too low, and they are just struggling too much with profitability. It's just too hard to live stream and encode content and then find a way to make enough money off that. It's extremely expensive to do. And that brings us to discussing other platforms that are trying to do it. So there have been some competitors to Twitch, notably Mixer, the Microsoft effort that got shut down, platforming very prominent broadcasters like Shroud and Ninja on multi-million dollar deals. YouTube Gaming has also been a contender, and they are actually still a contender with 15% of the total watched audience, watched hours being on YouTube against Twitch's 76.7 versus total hours streamed is only actually 3.7%. So that's like a lot more viewers to streamer ratio, which content creators should take note. That is a huge ratio right there that basically guarantees that you're going to get more viewers on YouTube if you stream there than you will on Twitch. I've been saying that for months, and people are just barely starting to listen to me. 92.7% of the total hours are found on Twitch, which solidifies Twitch as the live streaming website. And I think we knew this. Facebook Gaming has kind of more or less dropped off. There's a lot of stats about that. Maybe we could cover in another video. But suffice to say that right now, and for the foreseeable future, Twitch is the contender for hours watched in the live streaming market. Great. You kind of just have a large piece of a small pie. And that is where I think Twitch will sit. I think YouTube will gradually dig into this number, get a little bit more hours as people switch over, get a little bit more hours watched as more people go to YouTube for things like VOD playback and some superior viewing experiences and encoding experiences. Because I think it's safe to say that as of the time of this recording, YouTube is just a better experience watching streams than Twitch is, especially on mobile. So, and there's less ads, there's a lot less problems than Twitch has. But the hours watch will just stay on Twitch, and that's fine, right? But it just won't ever be this kind of enormous thing. So that said, where are we at with all these new platforms? So we talked about Mixer, we talked about YouTube now, talked about Facebook. Nobody has really been willing to crack in and try to take on Twitch one-on-one as the king of live streaming. And there is a thing in marketing. This is a marketing channel for people watching. This is mostly a marketing business channel. And that is called First Mover Advantage. First Mover Advantage is a concept that says if you are first to market, even if you are kind of dog water at it, you are going to be have a huge advantage. It will be harder to unseat you because people have just established you as kind of the live streaming person. Now, Twitch benefits from this more than anything. Twitch was first mover, and they got all of the live streaming pie, and then everybody else came in way later. And so as a result, Twitch really holds on to that and is just the live streaming place to be for video games and for kind of the internet and internet meta and React content and that sort of thing. It's worth noting that TikTok Live has been coming up as a IRL competitor to Twitch, and a lot of people don't track TikTok Live numbers. We at our agency do track TikTok Live numbers, and I can tell you that IRL is already more successful on TikTok Live than it is on Twitch. So TikTok was able to breach the marketing adoption curve. It was able to hit these people, and then it was able to introduce live streams to them in a totally different way. If you go to TikTok Live and you go look at the streams, the stuff like stores, it's stuff like people throwing balls into cups, people streaming on a boat, people streaming on a plane, and you see very little of that on Twitch. There's a lot more of that on TikTok Live because it appeals much more to normal audiences. So TikTok Live is a interesting future competitor. I don't think, though, that they will ever really enter into the gaming space, nor will they really be interested in ever trying. And that's fine. So they'll kind of have their own viewership. Twitch will have their own viewership. And Twitch will just sort of gradually decline into a more niche, kind of more dedicated viewer website. I hesitate to say more parasocial website, as people just kind of like become those kind of viewers, and the people that are going to attach to it are going to get attached to it. But I do not think that Twitch will ever enter any kind of widespread adoption curve. It just doesn't make any sense to me. It would have happened already. It's been 10 years. I mean, that's way enough, more than enough time for a product with first mover advantage to gain a user base that is competitive. We've seen TikTok do it way faster. We've seen Instagram do it way faster. Even Facebook was basically faster than that. So yeah, I just think that it's just going to sit in this niche, and that's that. Enter a new challenger appearing. The prominent broadcaster, Trainwrecks TV, has announced that there will be a competing platform to Twitch. Starting with the very powerful statement, Twitch has deemed most of us irrelevant. Whoa. So Train has said that there is a new website called kick.com that is going to be competing basically pound for pound for Twitch. And he justifies this by this announcement here that we're going to go through. Now, it is very important that you understand my biases. That is something that most YouTubers don't do, and I'm going to do it for you right now. I co-host a podcast with Trainwrecks TV. Also, my agency, Novo, has represented and can represent currently Trainwrecks in agency deals. Now, that said, I do not participate in any gambling, and I don't make any money off of gambling, and my agency has not made a single cent off of gambling. And it will not, because I don't allow that. And I quit Twitch about a year ago, opposing gambling and changes that Twitch was making, and I made videos about that. So, despite all that, you need to know, Trainwrecks is a friend of mine. I have every incentive in the world to tell you that this platform is going to work. And more importantly, I have every incentive in the world to tell you that he's a good dude, because I actually believe that. That said, I think that one of the main criticisms of me in the past has been, how can you say that you don't support gambling, but yet you support somebody like Trainwrecks who gambles all the time? And I'll just address that very quickly before we get into his platform, because I think it is responsible of me in these videos to tell you what my biases are. So I believe that you can stand with somebody that is your friend and disagree with something that they're doing. For some reason on the internet, this seems to be a very hard thing to conceive. Okay, so do I support Trainwrecks gambling or what Train does with gambling? No, I do not. I do not support that. I took a stand against that on Twitch. I went to Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg. I went to a bunch of places and I made articles that you can go search for Devin Nash gambling stance. And I made it very clear that Twitch should take the charge of the gambling issue. But more than that, I also had internal conversations with my contacts at Twitch and sought to get the gambling stuff removed. And I advocated for a ban of all luck-based gambling on Twitch. Now, despite that, I still support Trainwrecks as a friend, even though I disagree with what he does with gambling itself. However, I will say that if there is anybody that if you have to do something that in my view is evil, you should do it the way that Train does it, which is you should say, this is not good. You should not do this. I'm not kidding. And you should post your losses and you should use real money. And we're going to get into that. And that's all the things that Train does. Now, that's good. So I think if anybody is going to do it, I'm happy to support Train because he does it the best. And if you want to call me a hypocrite for that, that's fine. Like, right? But I've made my stance clear and I've made my bias clear. Everything that I say going forward, you need to keep in that in mind. Okay. But despite that, I'm going to try to give you an unbiased as possible look into kick.com and what Train has said. Despite those biases, I just want to make you aware of them. I didn't have to spend 5 minutes saying that and lose a bunch of viewers to my watch time. I did it because it's important that you know where I stand, okay? And I also want to shout out a couple of things. Like, Train is by far the number one donator for mental health on Twitch, and it's not even close. He has given more money to a charity that I participate in called Rise Above the Disorder, which is RAD, and they are a charity that gives free mental health care to people that can't afford it. Trainwrecks announced that he would have a fund that he personally donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to, in addition to tons of therapy that he himself has paid for, and that's just the stuff that he makes public. I know all the stuff he does privately, and I can say with total confidence there is not a single broadcaster on Twitch today that contributes to charity to the degree that Trainwreck's does, and it's not even close. Some other people used to. There have been broadcast, but a lot of them have moved. So Dr. Lupo, people like that. The only one that might actually come close is my boy Pestily, over in the Tarkov category. I can't forget him. And he's done enormous things for charity, amazing things. But yeah, suffice to say that I think Trainwreck is a good dude, and I stand by him. And I'm super happy to do that. Now, that said, I might disagree with some of the things that he's about to say and kick, and I'm going to make that very clear as well. And he's fine with that as well. So, and even if he wasn't, I'd do it anyway. But he's chill. All right, here we go. So as a top 5 creator in the world for 16.5 months straight and currently a top 10 Twitch creator in the world, I have a good understanding of Twitch. I think that's fair, yeah. Twitch pads the pockets of a handful of creators. So he's referring to, I think, paid contracts there, which like the contracts that creators get from Twitch, which are largely gone. In this day and age, there's only a few people that have those contracts. Most of them are kind of the star children of Twitch, like the people that are very brand friendly. And it's unclear if those people will be able to retain their contracts. And they won't admit Twitch's negligence towards the majority of its streamers. I believed in Twitch and want to stream there, but they're going in the wrong direction. They've built an empire off our backs and have the audacity to spit in our faces and give us no financial security with inconsistent policies and cutting our pay, which is true. That's true. They have cut pay. They've cut subscriber accounts. And but on the other side, they have added money via ads. Okay, so Twitch claims to be in a strong position ever with high viewership, sponsors, and profitability. But despite their claims, they get pay cut after pay cut. I have a problem with that too, because like their inner reporting to Amazon is like really favorable, but then they tell us like, oh, our IVS server costs are too high, like we can't make it happen. So I think he's mainly referring to the sub cut split here, and kind of announcing the hypocrisy. So I got no problems with all that first. Twitch takes the highest percentage split of any platform in the live stream world. That is 100% true. I also made a graphic, an infographic showing that on my Twitter, where that is like actually 100% true, and it's not even close. It's actually crazy. I didn't have that prepared for this, but I might be able to find it real quick. I did. So yeah, here on my Twitter, you can just see, how much creators take, and it's actually, these platforms take from creators. It's wild. So here's Twitch at $50. And you've got like YouTube, basically Patreon, Facebook, even Pornhub and OnlyFans, they take significantly less from creators than Twitch does. So that's true. That's actually really true. You only receive $2.50 of the subscription, and I don't believe it's right to take such a high percentage of what a streamer does. And I totally agree with that. I think that Twitch at a minimum should be 70-30, especially because the amount of money that Twitch actually takes home from is not from subscribers, it's from ads. So it's not fair that Twitch like holds subscriber revenue hostage, because that really should be the thing that Twitch gives to other people, and then they should write that off as a loss for Amazon Prime, and then they should give everybody 70-30, and then they should try to make ads as much as they can. So anyway, Twitch does no marketing for streamers or discovery, and limited help in building their business. So pretty much these are all kind of Devin Nash takes, right? Like this is 100% true. There's absolutely zero discovery on Twitch. If you start a stream from zero viewers, you have a $1 in $15,000 chance of ever even seeing minimum wage for that year, right? Less than a chance of winning the lottery. It is absolutely absurd how hard it is to get discovered or build any kind of business on Twitch. Given their contribution, it's absurd they take 50%. Yeah, there you go. So a few months ago, the Twitch announced that 70-30 split, so he's referring to the Dan Clancy thing, and they said it was too expensive to run their website and the costs have to pass on to creators. But platforms like YouTube maintain 70-30 split on subscriptions without issue, and I think that 70-30 is still not enough. We can do even better. Okay, cool. So I'm on board with this 100% so far. That sounds pretty good. All right, here we go. Now comes the big stuff. So as most of you know, I've been working on a couple of projects to make live streaming world better, and today I want to announce one of those projects. I am joining Kick.com as a non-owner advisor and non-exclusive broadcaster. I work to help creators succeed where Twitch has failed them, starting with a 95% split of all subscriber income. Woo! Okay. So, big things here. Non-owner advisor and non-exclusive broadcaster. That's intentionally written. That means that he doesn't have equity. And I think that's probably important, because it sort of separates him from the business of Kick for whatever reason. That probably means he's getting some kind of paid deal from Kick, and he is not actually an owner, and has probably chosen not to be an owner, as I'm sure somebody at Train's level would be offered that. Now, if you go to Kick.com, which I'm afraid to do right now, because it is, let me go on the other screen and then see if I get anything that I do not want to see. So if you go to Kick.com, you're going to notice that it is eerily similar to a website that we all know and love. Except for me, I'm not sure if I know and love it. looks very similar to another website. And that's because Kik.com is built off of IVS, now called SVS. And if that's the first thing you want to understand about Kik.com, you want to understand that. That Kik.com is built off of SVS. We're just calling it SVS, which is streaming video service. Also, it used to be called Interactive Video Service, which is IVS Amazon, if you search for that. IVS is the Interactive Video Service product. This is Twitch, basically. So what Amazon did when they bought Twitch is they said, okay, cool, we're going to take that over here and we're going to push it over there. And now it's going to be a product. And that product you can buy. You can buy it for your website and you can make your own live streaming service with blackjack and anything you want. Literally blackjack, okay? And so Kik.com, like Twitch, Amazon made this for, and that's their moat, by the way. That's their, like, when I say moat, I mean from a business perspective, there is no real competitor that can come into Twitch because the easiest way to actually build a Twitch-like website is to use Amazon service to do it, which is their service that they're already using for Twitch, that they're charging Twitch the bottom rates they can at their server cost. They're charging everybody else the IVS rates. Okay, so Kik.com does have unique code. It has pulled some of the assets from Twitch, to say the least, and definitely it has been made in a way that looks like it is like basically Twitch, but it is assuredly a unique code, the separate from Twitch, but it is using IVS as a backdrop. Now, if you understand that, you kind of understand the premise I'm about to build here, which is that it is it is almost impossible for Kik.com to succeed as long as it is an IVS product. And like, it's probably easy to understand why, right? Amazon owns Twitch. They're able to charge less for Twitch's services than IVS charges every one of its customers. Kik.com uses IVS. So there's no way that math ever works. Like, they will never be able to compete with Twitch one-to-one because their costs will always be higher for their infrastructure. Now, maybe Kik.com at some point could switch over to some other kind of server, but it's pretty hard to beat AWS cost. Yeah, these guys have warehouses full of computers, so you can build your own thing from the ground up, but good luck with that. That has always been my first and kind of primary out-the-door argument against anybody that is trying to build a competitor to Twitch. It is that, like, okay, you got to pay IVS costs, or you got to figure out a way to have servers that are competitive with AWS. Good luck, bro. Like, it's going to be pretty tough. And no one's really been able to challenge that to this date. There are some people that claim to, but I don't think anybody can. So, okay, that's like number one. And we need to understand that the Kik is built off IVS. All right, cool. Let's keep going. So he said he's joining, and now he said this is the very first thing he announces, big, starting with a 95% split of all subscriber income to creators. Holy shit. That is a crazy statement. He is basically saying, so how does that work, right? There's been a lot of speculation. I'm going to tell you exactly what the business model is there, okay? So it has been announced that, or been revealed, I should say, by some, quote, internet detectives that Stake.com is owned, or owns, the platform that Trainwreck is talking about, Kik. They are, so like, internet detective Coffee Break says new streaming platform is owned by Stake, and then Coffee Break himself, CoffeeZilla, who I actually think makes really great videos, and I'm glad he exists, but on this one, I'm not really sure about, like, his take here, because he says, wait for it, Stake, that's why Kik is paying insane creator splits, owned by an offshore casino. And like, the way he reveals this, like, makes it look like this is, like, a big secret, and this was not a secret. I think this is, like, one Google search away. And like, you just find that, like, Stake hasn't been trying to hide that they own Kik. In fact, the one of the owners of Stake, the guy named Eddie, has been live streaming on Kik for some time, like, literally just saying it's his platform. So I don't think anybody's, like, trying to hide. And some of people, like, some of these creators, like, they make it look like there was, like, a mistake made where, like, the Kik streaming Reddit was created by the same people that made Stake. Like, these people made this mistake. Like, nobody was trying to hide. It's really obvious. Nobody was trying to hide that Stake owns Kik. I don't think there's, like, any kind of legitimate criticism here. It's very strange. So I don't like this whole narrative. I think some people got this wrong. But that said, we're going to go forward with the knowledge that Kik owns Stake. So how are they justifying the 95... Sorry, Stake owns Kik. So how are they justifying the 95 split? Well, it's really simple. And to understand that, you got to understand the marketing concept of Costco chicken or hot dogs. So a Costco chicken is $5 to buy. I think it's maybe $6, and a hot dog is $1.50. The CEO of Costco says that Costco will die as a business before they agree to inflation rates and allow hot dogs to go above $1.50. Everyone's like, oh, God, you're so great, Costco. Oh, my God. So why is Costco doing that? Well, Costco is employing an awesome marketing concept called loss leading. Loss leading means you intentionally lose money on a product in order to drive customers to a higher conversion funnel later on. You might remember Xbox has done this since time immemorial. So if you actually look at the sale of an Xbox, and maybe even the sale of a PlayStation, somebody in the comments can like confirm this, you will find that they're losing money on every sale of a PlayStation or Xbox. They do not make money off of selling an Xbox. Now, why is that? Well, because they're going to convert you on a Xbox Live membership. They're going to convert you on future game sales, on Xbox Pass, all the stuff they have once you are a member of Xbox, once they know they get you. The cost per acquisition of the customer is paid back in the money that they make from you later. Now, the Costco chicken and the hot dog follows that philosophy. You come in for a $1.50 hot dog, you're probably going to buy something else from Costco. You're going to make some money. You say, hey, you know what I also need? 30 pounds of ramen. I'm going to order, boom, right, bam, out of there. Okay, now you've made Costco some money. So that's the idea behind a loss leader. So what Kick.com is doing here from a business perspective is they're saying, hey, you get 95% of the sub split. And I believe them. I think that they're really going to do that, right? Why do I think they can do that? Because they are going to drive people to use to go to gambling websites like Stake.com, and they're going to say, hey, you can gamble here, and then they're going to make thousands of dollars off those customers. So if they successfully convert you to being a subscriber on Kick, and you're predominantly watching like gambling culture and that kind of stream, then great. Like they're going to be able to kind of successfully 95-5 that, and I believe that's how they're justifying that business model. It's just an accountant in a back room that's like, okay, our cost per acquisition of customer is going to go way up because every time somebody subs, it's going to cost X, but like $5 or $4.95 or whatever, you know, yeah, $4.95. It's going to cost you $4.95 every time out, but we're going to make that back because we make thousands of dollars on the back end from those customers eventually converting to gambling websites. So that's the justification for that business model. So far, makes sense to me. Cool. Let's keep going. Just want to make sure you understand that. So here we go. So I chose to work with Kick because their investors are willing to listen to creator input and make the platform better. Cool. Understands the success for platforms successfully start. So that Kick understands that a successful platform starts with a successful streamer. Very true. I've worked with their team to create these benefits that no other platform has. And this feature will roll. These features will roll out in the near future. So notably, Kick is a enormous beta. And I mean, it is like the beta of a beta. I mean, it literally just like looks like Twitch, right? So and like as soon as Train announced this, as of the time of this recording, this was yesterday, people started making porn accounts, people started breaking things. Like, so, okay, that's a beta, okay? So, all right, we know that. So these features will roll out in the new future. Currently, not even a sub button works, so it's going to take some time. So there's the 95 to 5% subscriber split. We explained that. That's a loss leader. 100% of all tips made on Kick will also go to the streamer. That beats Twitch by a mile. I think Twitch is like 40 cents, 30% of the money that you pay Twitch 30% more to donate to broadcasters via bits. You pay up front, and then the broadcaster ends up getting 92% to 96% of the total. It's just minus fees. So basically, the broadcaster gets nearly everything, but Train is saying that 100% gets everything. So cool. Okay. So they're actually maybe paying processing fees or maybe not. Who knows? Doesn't matter. Point is, this is another loss leader. And also, the whole idea of bits on Twitch is something that I'm just kind of like fundamentally not about, because previously the way that tips worked on Twitch was I go to PayPal, I click the button, I give money to broadcaster, I pay processing fees, and I'm a done deal. It always didn't sit well with me that Twitch was just kind of like trying to shoehorn themselves into that with the bit system. And like they're just literally collecting money off of your back as a supporter of a broadcaster. And I don't really care if it goes to the streamer or the broadcaster. I would argue that like the 30% more is like money out of your pocket that you might have otherwise given a broadcaster anyway. Maybe I would have given them $1.30 instead of $1. I hate the bit system. I think it's so unfair to broadcasters, and I think everybody should bypass it through PayPal. So I just don't like it. So the fact that Kick is trying to make this 100% is good. And again, I'm trying to look at the platform as it is and for what they say they'll do. An innovative new exclusive creator program that will pay our partners for their stream success. The program works like no partner program before. You won't have to rely on subscribers. You'll get a steady income based on hours watched and total views to stream with the option to be paid out on the same day. There's some really interesting accounting that's going to have to happen to make that happen. I don't even know if same-day payouts are really hard coming from a person who pays a lot of creators for sponsorship activations. That's super hard to do. The only way to do that probably is through some kind of cryptocurrency. Like with traditional accounting methods, you'd have to wire, and it's like extremely expensive. I have no insight into this. I just don't. It's like a wait and see type of thing. I just have no idea if this is actually going to work. We'd have to see the specifics of this kind of creator program to really understand what is going to happen here. Otherwise, it's just going to be like way too hard to predict. So I'm just going to leave this one, and I'll say hopefully it's good, right? And if it's not, well, that sucks. Okay, so this one was the most interesting to me, and I didn't see anybody cover this. This is a really big deal. A TOS, that's a terms of service, those are the rules that govern the platform, designed to be fair to streamers with clear rules on what's okay and not okay, no ambiguous bans. Kick's current TOS, which is basically, I looked at it, it's like basically a copy and paste of Twitch's TOS, it will be completely updated. The new TOS will include rules governing ethical gambling. Now, that's a big statement, but then he goes in to say, like, what that actually means. Fill balances must be disclosed. So to be clear, what that means is, that means that if you are, so surprise, some people that gamble, they don't actually gamble with real money. That money is paid to them by the casino, and then they act like they won a lot of stuff. And a very large number of Twitch streamers do this. Train is one of the people that doesn't do this. I know it for a fact, but I know the other streamers that do. This is not a drama channel, so I'm not going to shout them out. But there are a lot of broadcasters that did that in the past and currently do that to this day. It is one of the reasons that I stood up against gambling. It is so unethical that the casino gives you $500,000 to gamble with, and then you win some huge amount, but you're winning either way. You're not actually losing because the casino is paying that. That's what a fill balance is. So if it is true that fill balances are being disclosed, that's a big deal. No wager locked giveaways or code locked giveaways also means that, well, that the way that works is, if you do a giveaway that's like, hey, I'm going to give everybody $1,000, but you got to use my code and you got to sign up for like this website, this gambling website. Well, okay, then that obviously is incentivizing people to go to that website. And no lying to audiences regarding the reality of gambling's losing nature. Whoa. So like that means that, like, in no uncertain terms, he's saying, I'm going to require calls to action for people that are going to, that they're going to say, well, so this is basically taking all the things that Train himself does when gambling and putting this on a platform as a TOS requirement. Nobody talked about this. Let me tell you something that's like really important. What he says is true and he manages to do this, that kick.com will actually have way more rules against gambling than Twitch does currently, because all Twitch did was ban a couple choice websites. And if you go, and yes, the slots category is 50% less popular over a 90-day moving average than it was when the gambling ban was announced, but there are still people streaming illegal slots every single day with fill balances not disclosed, with giveaways. All that stuff is still there on Twitch. Twitch didn't stop gambling. We were now 60 days, 65, 70 days out from the gambling ban, and guess what? Did it become less popular because they nuked one of the most popular websites? Yes, but other gamblers figured out, well, I can just go to any of the websites that Twitch did not list, and I can go gamble and do all the same thing. Twitch didn't update any of the rules. All they said is, we're banning these four websites, and we might ban websites later. And so as a result, all this stuff is still happening. So for Train to take a stance here, like, these are not things that he would make so much more money if he left these things in, and so would everybody else and every gambler on the website. But I think Train here maybe didn't explain the magnitude of this. If this actually happens, whether Kick.com, and look, let's make no mistake here. Kick.com is like going to be a gambling centric website, no matter what the mission of Kick is, because it is your major guy is gambling there. Most of the streams to date are gambling. That's what the culture is kind of set to be. You'd have to work very hard to make that culture not that reality. So I think gambling's like there to stay on the website. But if that's going to be the TOS that governs it, this is the most important part of the entire announcement to me. And this alone would make me interested in looking at Kick as like an interesting project, because they're taking a harsher stance by a mile than Twitch on the TOS and for gambling. Where, to make no mistake that Twitch has only banned popular websites. They have done nothing to protect customers and people from gambling on Twitch. just like they've done nothing to protect it from a lot of the underage stuff that's going on and some other stuff that I'm going to start to get into some deep shit if I start talking about. So I am a big fan of that. If it happens, it's huge. Plus many more updates. And then he kind of goes into like why these splits are possible. And he actually says that what drives it is ads. So his plan is to, or sorry, Kick's plan is to, I don't want to say his plan, because he's already disclosed himself as not an owner. So I'll say Kick's plan was to partner with the world's leading advertisers to generate cash flow. That is going to be real tough. like almost impossible tough, because that is also the plan of Twitch, right? So Twitch's plan is, well, we're going to try to make a website that works off of advertising. And it's like, well, you can't do it. And so why can't you do it? Well, because in a live streaming environment, it is always going to be more brand risky for advertisers to go with something like on Twitch than it's going to be to go on something with YouTube, where they can vet the videos beforehand and YouTube can create the content ID system that pretty reliably stops everyone from advertising bad stuff on YouTube like to date. So nowadays, advertisers are super confident putting their money into AdWords because YouTube protects them, basically. But it's way harder to do in a live streaming environment. And the other big problem with live streaming environments is that you're kind of only as strong as your weakest link. So the worst, most brand risky streamer on Twitch represents the advertising budget for everybody, because that ads appear on every stream on Twitch. There's no segmented advertising on Twitch. The segmented advertising on YouTube, though, so like a channel that like broadcasts weapons or gambling or something like that on YouTube, doesn't influence my channel at all, because I'm in the finance category, I'm in the business category, I just respond to stuff that goes on here. So I don't care about those people at all. But on Twitch, making the exact same content, I would suffer their rates because all ads are the same. And if an advertiser is going to pull out of one stream on Twitch, they're going to pull out of every stream on Twitch. So Kick's going to have the same problem. And it's going to be worse because Kick has that aforementioned culture problem of being a gambling website. I think it is extremely hard to partner with advertisers. And I can only think, unless like, I can't think of a way that Kick will be profitable. I just cannot think. It is next to impossible, because I can't think of a way that Twitch could be profitable. And I spent many hours thinking about this, where if somebody comes in and puts the scepter on my head and says, you are now the CEO of Twitch, fix these problems, I mean, the next thing I'm going to do is disappear to Antarctica, because I can't fix the problem. I don't know how to make it profitable. And I certainly don't know how to make Kick profitable. So, okay, be patient. Give Kick time to develop. There'll be bugs and issues, not a complete launch. So we talked about a little bit. And if you're a streamer, give it a year, he says. Watch this development, see if it's the right platform for that, for you. For that reason, the Kick team and I are making Kick a baseline non-exclusive platform. So we put the power to decide if you want exclusivity or not. If you want to pursue exclusivity, we'll give you a paid contract, basically what that says. Finally, Twitch lost its grasp on reality. It used to feel like a place made by us for us, but they built their empire and then forgot about us. And the reason that Twitch became the number one platform in the first place was because of the creators. Totally agree, actually. And Twitch is huge creators with paid contracts, not just for them, but for small and mid-sized creators. We're going to create a better platform before Twitch lost its way. So the baseline exclusive thing is interesting, because I have long touted the benefits of multi-streaming. And I feel like there is no reason why broadcasters shouldn't multi-stream in this day and age. There have been I've just done so many videos about this, and I'm just not going to like divert into the subject, but suffice to say, like, we have literal just stat proof after proof after proof that broadcasters will increase their viewership by multi-streaming. There's literally no reason to stream on one platform anymore. You should use a service like Restream.io, which I'm not affiliated with at all. I think it's the best one, Restream.io, where you can easily split your feed into a Twitch stream, into a YouTube stream, into a TikTok live stream. And now you have permission from Twitch to stream on TikTok live and platforms like Kick. You just can't stream on YouTube at the same time. And I think Facebook. So if you should take advantage of that, right? And even if you didn't have permission, if you're an affiliate on Twitch with 5 viewers, do you really think they're going to like come at you for like streaming on YouTube at the same time? Like, is there someone, there's a human that's going to come get you for that? No chance, right? Like, there's not even humans that talk to the largest partners anymore. So multi-streaming is great, and I don't see a reason why Kick shouldn't be a part of other people's portfolios, as every other platform is, unless they show in the future that they can't do these things and they are willfully harming people, which doesn't seem to be the case. Now, what am I missing here? So Not much. Yeah, I think that the absolute best take on this that I've read is from my buddy, a guy named Co Carnage, who's a pretty wholesome streamer, and just a guy that I'm just a big fan of. I think just runs his stuff way above the board. Super professional. Love this guy. Says, not going to lie, a lot of this seems so good, it's unsustainable. If this sticks around for a while, with the percentage and numbers you're saying, it's going to be something to talk about. Best of luck. That's my take, too. I think that's basically completely what I think. This is a, I think there's a lot of people that are dogging on this platform right now, which is a little sad because it's pretty clear that they kind of came out the gate trying to benefit creators a lot more than other platforms are. Now, you might say that the intention behind that ethically is to just drive more people to gambling. Maybe that's true. I guess I'm just like so much of a fan. Either I'm biased or I'm a fan of the idea of giving Twitch legitimate competition. And I just want to see more opportunities for creators to make more money off the platforms that they're on, especially if they don't have to compromise their like exclusivity to do it. If Kick had come out the gate and said like, hey, like we require an affiliate type program where after a certain number of viewers to get your 95 sub split, you've got to be exclusive. Like I would so 100% be against this so fast, but because multi-streaming is a thing, you can build your brand on Twitch at the same time as trying it out here, at the same time as trying to get discovered on all these different platforms. And you can try it out. Like every platform is open. I'm not opposed to any other, as long as they're not causing harm to other people, I'm not opposed to any platform directly. And I want to see if Kick is going to significantly incentivize people to go to the gambling side of, like how linked are we to Stake and the owners of it, right? I want to see that play out. If it ends up being that Kick is basically a funnel to gambling websites, and it ends up just being that all of this is users going into Kick, supporting their favorite streamers, and then just becoming going into gambling websites, and that's just the funnel, and then everything's a gambling website, and that's like I'm gonna do what TrainWreck says. I'm gonna give Kick a year, and if it ends up being that Stake is sitting there saying, okay, everybody come to here, that's how we're doing our loss leads. This is like we're doing the Costco chicken. Everybody sign up, get incredible creator splits, and then go gamble. I'm not going to be a fan. I'm not going to support it. But I think it's too early to tell. I think that Kick has come out the gate saying, hey, we're trying to make a legitimate competitor. We're doing it by putting a lot of incentive into creators you've never seen before. And yes, we are owned by Stake. We're owned by Gambling Website. And I personally think, again, that nobody has really tried to hide that. I do think it was an oversight to not announce that. But I also think that's not really Train's job. I think that Train's job here was to do a platform update about what he is doing with the platform. He probably didn't even think to put Stake's ownership in here because he's not an owner himself. He just said he's a non-owner advisor, so I don't think he had to disclose himself that Stake was owning this platform, especially given that it's on job posts, it's on the description on LinkedIn, it's the owners themselves are streaming saying that they own it. Like I don't understand how these internet detectives were like, breaking news, this is the secret, it's hidden. But come on, man, like there's no, like, this was not a, like, they're trying to make it look like it's a mistake that these platforms were like, no way, right? Like, it wasn't a mistake. Nobody's trying to hide that Stake owns this. This is their attempt at what seems to be a gambling website with unclear idea of how linked it's going to be to gambling. They want a gaming website that's basically going to be a gambling website that's basically maybe a funnel for Stake. And if not, and it's a legitimate gaming platform, I'm in the wait and see camp. But cool. I mean, like if they want to do it and they want to give creators more options, great, right? So I'm going to give you a sort of kind of summary of where we're at and some of the big points for later. But right now, we're 48 minutes into a Devin Nash video. So this is a big secret call. Oh my God, I love this the best. Okay, this moment, this is the best moment in any video, okay? Because so many people leave comments and they're like, I'm still here at 48 minutes. This is where you leave a secret YouTube comment and say 48, right on the dot. Because I don't think I'm going to edit this video at all. 48, right on the dot. You're here. That's a good secret call. That means you've been here long enough to watch this video all the way through. Thank you so much. You've been here almost an hour. I really appreciate it. I hope that I've been providing information to you that is super helpful and just an awesome insight into the area of live streaming, which I'm just so fascinated about. If you don't know a lot about me, I'm Devin Nash. Like I said in the beginning of the video, I own an agency called Novo. That's an agency that does work for brands. So if you are a brand and you want to talk to us about how to do advertising influencer marketing, I can talk to you about that. And we do all kinds of stuff. We run hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars of budget for brands every year. And we'd love to run your budget too and get you some awesome results. The other thing you could do is go to patreon.com/DevinNash. Patreon.com/Devin Nash has over 90, closing on 100 videos about business marketing education. Patreon.com/Devin Nash is a legit $5, and you get 90 videos from me that are this long that talk about just specifically the ins and outs of marketing that I can't put on YouTube because nobody cares about that shit. But if you care about building a business or learning about true marketing advertising and just like learning about how stuff works behind the scenes, social media, you're getting it from an agent who runs millions of dollars of this stuff every year. And almost nobody has that kind of insight. I'm really confident in that. It's my kind of equivalent to a sub button since I don't stream on Twitch anymore. Please consider supporting it. So the 4848 crowd, thank you so much for being here. Let's summarize everything we kind of came up with here and give you some stuff to work with going forward in a new notepad. So summary, I think Twitch will continue to moderately decline in viewership as the market becomes more niche. I don't think the ads program will go away. I also don't think the problem of adopting into users who are normal will go away. I think you will always be weird if you watch Twitch. Okay. And as for Kick, I'm really in this sort of wait and see category. I like what I see so far, and I like these promises, but there are so many questions as to like how linked up is Stake going to be to Kick? How much incentive are they going to have to drive people to their gambling platform? Now, Stake is owned by bazillionaires. They have so much money. So maybe they're trying to create a totally separate platform as investors, and they're trying to say, hey, we just want to make a cool gaming website, and we don't really care. We got all the money to do it, so we don't mind. There are very few people with the amount of money that people like Stake have to be able to do something like this. So maybe they're like not even going to make it a funnel at all, but most of the people that have that kind of money, they have incentive. They understand, like, okay, I want something to be profitable. I'm in it for that. So probably become some kind of funnel in some kind of way. But sure, we'll do what Trainer says. We'll give them a year and we'll see where it goes. I also think that there is zero chance that this ever becomes profitable. And when I see zero, I mean it. I think there are if I was Dr. Strange and I meditated 3 million times on all of the possibilities in the multiverse of Kick becoming profitable, I don't think there's a way we beat Thanos. I don't think there's a way that we ever get to the point where this is profitable. There is just no world where that happens. Like, Twitch building collapses, all the people decide they don't want to work there anymore, and everyone leaves even then. I just can't see the reality. For all the reasons we said before, it is just too hard to monetize, especially off of the back of IVS. If you could attract the world's greatest advertisers and you're willing to take a loss for the next, like, 5-10 years, you know, who knows? But as of this current time, I just don't think so. Some people are saying that because of like DMCA and like some of these other issues that are popping up on Kick, that that might be what actually just shuts down the website. Maybe Twitch goes and shuts down the website. I don't think that's likely. I mean, right now, Amazon has every incentive to keep Kick.com running because they're literally using their backbone and paying for it. So I don't think that Amazon goes after them. I don't think the DMCA is a thing either. DMCA is one of those things that sounds really scary. Even I got on this train for a while where I was like, yeah, DMCA is like super coming. I still think there is like a kind of singularity moment where DMCA more or less like nukes somebody really big on Twitch and then we're all talking about it. And you'll see a Devin Nash video 100% when that happens because I've warned about it for years. But for the most part, DMCA is kind of one of those things that lawyers get to kick around and it sounds really scary and might one day end everything. But realistically, in practice, just affects almost no one. You're just taking an infinitesimal risk every time you stream with like illegal music and stuff like that, that you might wake the bear and then you just immediately die. You know, it's kind of like equivalent to like walking around on the street and, you know, just getting hit by an asteroid. It can happen to anybody. But is it likely to happen? Absolutely not. So in the same exact way, I don't foresee any like DMCA stuff kind of like ending the Kick thing. Just because, like, if it were, they go after Twitch. They go after any of these huge creators that are playing 50 Cent and any of these other huge creators, like music creators, they go after them first on Twitch or on bigger platforms, okay? Twitch is going to have to solve that problem long before Kick does. I don't think anybody will even care. So I don't think that that's really a looming threat. It will hit some major streamer first. I also don't think, because they're using their unique code, I also don't think Twitch will hit them up for the... like any kind of like plagiarism, and like the site looks exactly the same. It's like, hey, copy my homework and like have it over here. But a lot of stuff is like that. I think that's probably fine. It'll probably change as it goes on. And I just think that the most likely outcome for Kick is a DOA product. It's just dead on arrival. It you know, Train probably does decently well there because he has an established audience and because he's Train. Like, Train has insane engagement, like maybe better than almost any influencer out there in the Twitch world. So Train probably does okay. Some people coming over probably get some kind of audience to do okay. But the user acquisition without a firm marketing strategy is going to be extremely hard, if not impossible. And they're going to have to do something different than what Twitch did. And they're going to have to do something different than what TikTok Live did. And to compete on that basis is going to be very hard. So your biggest problem in tech is always UA. It's always user acquisition. Kick is going to suffer from that problem. Most of their user acquisition is going to be from influencers they bring over. That's basically existing Twitch audience. They got to convince them to be there. They got to convince those influencers to be there. So at best, you get a total addressable market that is equal to Twitch. That's like at an extreme best. At worst, you are just kind of dead on arrival, which is what I anticipate will happen. And then other than that, I just think it's kind of interesting. And I just sort of like the idea of more websites coming along. I think more competition is always good. So I am in the... Slap me down in the co-carnage category. Sounds good, bro. Let's wait and see. Do exactly what that announcement says. But yeah, a little bit too much hate towards Train. It's to be expected with anything he posts. And a highly controversial figure. And hate towards me, if you want. You know, you put it out there. Totally understand. Because of my stance that I mentioned aforementioned. Hey, he's done a lot for charity. He's done a lot of good. Also does some bad. But, I guess maybe it's I'm just kind of jaded because I live in the influencer world of people that do so much worse and never tell you. They are the people that like act like the paragons of humanity doing ostensibly the greatest good. But in fact, I don't think anyone sees what they have behind the scenes. And if ever I wrote a book one day when I was retired and I had the last ticket from Elon to go to Mars and I was never going to see you all again. I will drop the Devin Nash manifesto of every tier one creator and all the evils they have committed in this world. And you will see, I think, that Train is not that bad of a guy. In comparison, he's a lot less gray than a lot of the other guys. Anyway, that's my take. That's where I think Twitch is at. That's where I think Kick is at. That's where I think new platforms are at. And if you enjoyed this basically hour-long video, you got to leave a comment and let me know, okay? Because I do read them. And if you leave a hateful comment, I will read that too, and I'll be happy for your engagement. Thank you everybody for coming out for this, for supporting this whole thing we do. Oh yeah, check out discord.gg/Devin where we'll be discussing this video and all the ways I'm wrong and right, I'm sure. Thank you everybody. Bye.